Let me read you this passage one more time. This is from Isaiah 58. It is an amazing chapter. If you get to read the whole chapter, he talks about this false religion and fasting, and really they need to be just all about giving their food to the hungry, helping the weak, helping the oppressed. And it ends weirdly with like Sabbath. It's a very interesting chapter of like the culmination of all kind of these good works is these verses, verses 13 and 14 of Isaiah 58. Let's read this one more time. It says, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The people of Israel had taken this day that God had given them and made it a day all about their own. The ESV translates it pleasure here. If you also look, if you have an ESV in your hands, it probably has a number 4 beside the word pleasure. Because there's a different way you can translate this, which is the people had started doing their own business. They needed another day. They needed 6 days of work, which was commanded of them. The fourth command is say, work 6 days. On the seventh day, rest. 6 days was not enough for them. They needed another day. It is very much how we find ourselves. We find ourselves in this time where we want rest, but we feel like we have no time for it. We want it. We desire it. Those that market, okay? And I'm talking about the biggest companies on this planet. Take a look at almost every set of advertising that is out there right now, and I guarantee you they're marketing Sabbath. It is a day, it's basically they're giving you a picture of a day of rest and delight. You do not see advertisements of people in a room just looking at their phones or looking at their computers and being just like super happy. It's at the beach. It's in a hammock. It's in a pool. It is resting. Our marketers that know, one, they're trying to get us to consume, which is kind of, you're going to hear me say this is the opposite of Sabbath, but know what our souls really want. It's to stop. And there's something in us that says you can't do it. You cannot stop. I mean, even pastors have this problem. If there's a command that we can break and not only get away with it, but get promoted, it's breaking the fourth command. You know, most other commands we'd be fired for, but we are admired when we work ourselves to death. Just keep going, keep doing, keep producing. And there's these lies. There's these lies that all of us believe that we need to face in our country and in ourselves. One of the lies is you are what you produce. You are what you produce is one of the biggest lies that is out there, that your value is kind of determined on what you put out, your production. Some of us guys, what this really means, you're like, hey, I'm not, you know, producing lots of tables. Well, you know, you have a job. Some of it for you is your value is in how big is your paycheck compared to the other dude's paycheck. If you're not at a certain level, man, if I was at minimum wage versus, man, my, you know, $100 an hour job says something about who I am. You are what you produce. I mean, this is, for a lot of us, what's the first question when we're getting to know people? Or one of the first questions is, hey, what do you do? Sabbath and God invite us into a world where we are not what we do. And it invites us into a world where we don't have to be consumers to be happy. to just consume and consume and consume, it invites us to a world where God is. And he invites us to be alongside of him and rest weirdly with him. See, God is the God of rest. It is at the first pages of the Bible that we get to see he works for 6 days. And what does he do on the seventh? He stops. He rests. And what's that first day? It's the first day after humanity's formed. I mean, the first day on this planet was a day of just being with God for Adam and Eve. It's an amazing reality. And this is part of the promise here. And I want you to see it. In that verse 14, he says, man, if you stop doing your own business on the Sabbath, and you actually call the Sabbath what it is, which is a day of delight and a day that's honorable to the Lord, this day where you're supposed to set it aside from the rest of the 6 days and stop to rest, to just be. Man, if you do this and you do it with alongside of me, the promise here is then you shall delight in the Lord and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. Who wants that? Who wants to ride on the heights of the earth? I'm going to tell you here, there is nothing greater than when your soul delights in the Lord too. I mean, it's like, one, if you do this, what's the promise? If you do this, then your soul will delight in the Lord. Okay? I want y'all to have that. I want me to have that. I'm hungry for that. And then the second promise, you'll ride the heights of the earth. What is here? Why is God saying, why is this the promise to the people of Israel, to the people of God? What is going on here? What are we missing? This feels almost anti-American dream to me. It's like, aren't I supposed to be going all the time? There's the promise, but we have the problem. Here's the problem that I see. When I grew up, when I looked at the Sabbath, when I heard that language, some of you know it, some of you don't. It's, that word Sabbath is from the Jewish word that's for that seventh day of the week. That's Saturday to the Jewish schedule. When I grew up, I grew up in a church background. I heard this word talked about. I always associated it with what I can't do. It was a day of can'ts. And to me, it honestly felt like a day of no fun. It was like, man, let's Sabbath. Not like, I don't want to do that. It seems like we can't go to any of the stores that I like. We can't go to restaurants. It was this very puritanical day. Do you know what I'm talking about? It felt like, man, if I wanted to have fun, nope, it's the Sabbath. You've got to be real bored. You've got to, like, not do things. It was more about what we can't do than what we can. That's part of our problem. I think part of our problem is some of us think about this practice in terms of all the negatives. It's like we think of everything in terms of this like puritanical day and go, man, I don't want to be legalistic about this day. And so what you do is you like work yourself to death. Oh, what a great transition. Like, hey, I don't want a Sabbath. So let me just work all the time. Let me be busy all the time. That's like a real issue. That for those of you who just don't want to be legalist about it, there's something like really great offered here. The Sabbath is a day where we get to learn who God is. It's a day of just being with God. We get to rest in him. It is not about production. It is not about consumption. It is about a day of being. Abraham Heschel, who wrote this great work, The Sabbath, he writes this, and I think this is just a great quote. He says, unlike the Day of Atonement, the Sabbath is not dedicated exclusively to spiritual goals. It is a day of the soul as well as of the body. Comfort and pleasure are an integral part of the Sabbath observance. I want you to hear this one more time, okay? Listen to this. Unlike the Day of Atonement, this is a Jewish holiday day where the people of God would go up and sacrifice for their sins. He says, unlike this day, which is a day exclusively dedicated to spiritual goals. The day of the soul, the Sabbath is a day of the soul as well as of the body. Comfort and pleasure are an integral part of the Sabbath observance. Here's what he's saying right here. Man, there's some days, the Jewish holiday has them, that are exclusively just for your soul. What he says is once a week, God is commanding you to stop for 24 hours, not just for your soul, but for your body. You're a limited creature. You're a limited being. When we don't Sabbath, here's what we're basically saying. I am God. I do not have limits. I do not need rest. I am God. And you enter into a state of constant anxiety. See, this the law of God, the Ten Commandments were given as the people of God were freed from slavery. And Pharaoh lived in this system of constant anxiety, constant production, constant goals. He worked 7 days a week. And because he worked 7 days a week, you know who else had to work 7 days a week? His upper management. Because man, if upper management isn't doing what the leader's doing, you get left behind. It really had some trickle-down effect though. His daily quotas for those finally at the bottom, which were the slaves, the people of Israel, demanded every single day they had work quotas that they could not fill. It was a constant state of anxiety. And the people were delivered. The people of God were delivered out of that system and said they were invited to not live under Pharaoh. But do you know the amazing thing is what they get invited to is to not live under God, but to live with God, alongside of him, to join him in his creation order. What he planned from the very beginning is be with me on that 7 day. Stop, the world's gonna keep going. I made it incredibly. I don't need to demand that it keeps going. Watch out, when you Sabbath, you'll see that the world goes on without you. When you rest, it keeps going. And you get to see you are not God. You get to see you are a creature. You are a being that he made, that he loves, that he longs to be with you. We have a deep, deep problem in our soul. And it's this demand for noise in our world. It is the constantly being busy. Our phones have made us into where you can get in contact with us until the late hours of the night. And some of us even feel like if I don't respond that same day, I'm not living and doing my job properly. There's research showing us that our phones are keeping us up longer at night and waking us up earlier in the morning. We're literally losing rest, not just 1 day a week to rest, but like the number of literal sleep hours we're losing because of the way our world operates. Time Magazine, they did this 2016 report. It said it came out with these numbers. The average adult American spends 11 hours on social media and TV. 11 hours a day. We have this urge to consume noise because you know what? If we enter into a space of silence, what are we going to find? What hurts are we going to have to face? God wants us to face those things. We have a problem. It's like, I got to get my work done. I don't have space to, God, do this 1 day a week thing where I rest. One is because that sounds really boring to me. I want you to change some language. I want you to stop thinking about Sabbath as a day of rest because that might not sound pleasing to you. I want you to start thinking about a Sabbath as a day of delight, a day of delight with the Lord. Think about this. If you just had to go tell your kids this every single, you pick your kids up, some of you have kids, and you say, hey, family rule, here's what God wants us to do. Once a week as a family, we really just need to stop doing all the chores. Any chore, it's a day of no chores. It's a day that we're together. We've got to figure out some like really good food to eat. We need to figure out some really good people and fun people to be around. And we need to just be with God in all of it, worship him, What kid would think that was like a bad family plan? And we got to do that every single week for the rest of our lives. God's commanding this. And a lot of us think, I just can't do that. Some of us wants to do it. We're like, how do I do it? It's because we got a problem. We are addicted to busyness, to noise. And God is offering us a way back. And he's offering us a way to delight in him. If you do this once a week, watch, you're gonna delight in me. And you are gonna ride the heights of the earth. If you turn, we've got a problem. We've got a problem. What's the plan? What was the plan? What was the design that God made? We've kind of talked about it here. God's original plan is seen in creation. Actually, let me do this. I skipped a verse. I need to read this verse. Let me get back to the problem. Let me show you the problem. This is from Psalm 127, okay? It says this, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen watch in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For God gives his beloved sleep. The problem with our lives is we feel like we've got to go and go and go. And we eat this bread. It's anxious toil. It's anxiety. The problem with anxiety in our lives is because we just feel the need to go and go and go. You know what God gives his beloved? Sleep. How different is that from the way we think? How amazing is that, that our God gives us sleep? God wants something different for our lives. This is his plan. Sleep. Rest. You being a limited creature, that you're not God, that you need rest. You need a day with others and a day for yourself and a day with him. This is his plan. In Genesis 2, right at the beginning of the Bible, we get to see this. In Genesis 2, the passage reads this. Sorry, let me flip to it really quick. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. The first example of holiness in the Bible is here. Day one, good. Day two, good. Day three, good. Day four, good. Day five, good. Day six, very good. Do you remember that when you read the passage? Husband, Adam, Eve, he made both of them very good. Day seven, holy. The first example of holiness in the Bible is stopping. There's something to this with the way God works. Is God is not an anxiety-driven God. Pharaoh, he called himself the God-man. He literally told people, I'm God incarnated. Man, we know God incarnated. That's Jesus Christ. Our God does not work like that. He's not anxiety-driven that needs to have these pyramid things where at the top he gets everything and at the bottom you do all the work and it just trickles all the way up to me. Our God works so different. So, so different. He rests. He stops. He creates. And then he, you know what? He knows it's going to work. Wendell Berry has this amazing line out of that I love. He goes, Sabbath observance invites us to stop. It invites us to rest. It asks us to take notice that while we rest, the world continues without our help. It invites us to delight in the world's beauty and abundance. I would add, and it invites us to see the God who did all of this. You know, the plan is that we were made for God. God in his original plan made us just to be with him. The original passage that I love thinking about this being with God is that in Genesis, it would say that God would come in the cool of day and walk with them, Adam and Eve. That's kind of the original plan of how God designed us to be with him. He designed us to actually walk life alongside of him and with him. But sin entered into the world and it destroyed all that. Sin comes in and it's broken all of us. And so when God brings his people out of slavery, when he brings the people of Israel out of the hands of Pharaoh and he sets up a new people and he's given them a plan of how to thrive, how to live in the Ten Commandments. The largest commandment of all of them is commandment 4. It bridges the commands to love God, which is commands 1 through 3. And it bridges to commands 5 through 10, which is love your neighbor as you love yourself. The longest command is that command to Sabbath, to rest. Because God was telling us and he's giving us a way back to his original design is you are not beings of production. You are not beasts of production. You are not to be driven by the anxieties of capitalism, the anxieties of consumerism to have and get and get. You're made for him. And your soul won't be satisfied until you are in him. God made us to rest. His plan is for you to rest. I want to invite you to look at his plan in scripture. Look, one thing that I'm excited about in emotionally healthy spirituality is near the ends of the book, there's rhythms for how to live with God. And there's like a real plan that you create for how to do Sabbath with you and your family. How do you put it into practice? This is something we all really need to actively work for. Months ago, I said this thing, the hardest thing that we can do sometimes is to stop. And I used the Beastie Boys quote. You know, it's like, we gotta fight for our right to party. I mean, it's you gotta fight for it. In this culture, you actually have to fight for space to like just be and relax and refresh. It's true. You've got to strive for that. And that's what practicing this day is in the life of those of us who have faith. The spiritual practice of Sabbath is an act of defiance to our culture. Our culture that constantly goes, constantly moves, that constantly believes that that things will satisfy them. That if they get more stuff, more money, more friends, they will be satisfied. The spiritual practice of Sabbath is just unlike everything that the world has to offer. It's a day to stop from all that and to really engage a new system and a way of living that is for the good of every single human on this planet. If you read that original command, God doesn't just command you to rest. He actually says, your male servants, your female servants, your livestock. Like wherever you rest, everyone around you should rest. It's like create a new system. If you're an employer, you gotta make sure you're commanded. Everyone needs this, not just you. There's this system. So how do we practice this? There's a few things that one, I wanna say up at the very beginning. Sabbath rhythms just look different in a lot of different stages of life. So Let me give you an example, and you'll know this. My Sabbath looked different when I did not have any children. I have 3 kids under the age of 7 right now. Sabbath, when you're 26, pre-kids, it's just going to look a lot different than Sabbath with 3 kids and you're young, which will look different with 3 kids in high school and will look different 3 kids in college or work or beyond. So that needs to, when we're talking about practices, I'm going to be real general here and say, hey, does it make sense to you that vacations look different before you had kids? That's how Sabbath is going to be, okay? Like, do your vacations, if you have children right now, young children, man, was that vacation just mind-bogglingly refreshing? Whoa, that was like, I feel totally like I didn't sleep at all still. And I just had the pains of not being in my own environment for a few weeks and the family drama. Can you nod with me? So one is, one part of this is we need to look at, man, okay, if I want to engage in Sabbath, like this practice that for ages the people of God have done and practiced this, if I want to start this, one, we got to think about expectations. Like, we got to think of, man, when you have a vacation now, you set your expectations differently, don't you? It's a trip. Okay, it's you're going to change locations, and when you change those locations, bad things might happen, okay? Some of you that don't have kids, don't laugh, because if you do, whatever you get into, it's real. So the other part is those practices are all about your kids now too. Or if you don't have kids, it's still, this practice will develop over time. Like, it's just going to be different in different seasons of your life. So I want to say that. First is, I want to talk about preparation. It takes a lot of work to stop working. A lot of work. Preparation might be the key to Sabbath. There is a frenzied nature to our house on a Friday afternoon, because we are trying to get every single thing done that needs to be done, because we rest on Saturday. That's our rhythm. It can be any day for you, but there is a frenzied activity that's like, okay, we need to get everything in our house done that needs to happen today on Friday. So what you kind of start seeing is what that original command is. If you go to Exodus 20 and you read that command, you're going to have to work 6 days to rest one day. Like, if you have a 5-day work week, one day, one of your days of weekend is going to be work. You're going to kind of work and prepare to get to a Sabbath day. Here's some little things that I think you should think of when you're trying to prep for a Sabbath day. Think through, what is the easiest thing for your household the next day, particularly in regard to eating? That's going to sound really strange, but could you prep food that you don't really have to do too much the next day in preparation, just to give yourself time and space where that's good? Now, let me tell you this. Maybe some of you, this is where I want to say it's real different. Maybe you never get to cook, but you love cooking. It is like rest for your soul. You need to get everything ready to cook. Okay? Like, you need to consider the freedom that the Sabbath brings you, which is actually, man, what if I had one day where I could spend 2.5 hours making an insane meal? I never get to do that. That might be for your soul. Rest. For some of you, our family, we don't like that as much. Okay? So, and with the young kids, it's like, we're thinking about food. Easy foods is part of it. Good foods is part of it. If you're like, okay, like let's open the saltine crackers, you're gonna start thinking as God is, how in the world am I riding the heights of earth on saltine crackers? Okay, so you gotta think of like what, like God designed you for a day of, it's a day of delight, but it's some cool work to do. I don't know if you've ever. I remember when we were early married, we went from that stage where we kind of had a budget to when we really needed a budget. Like we needed it to be actual because there's real things you got to pay for and like we got to get our act together. It's kind of amazing when you stop the nickel and diming how much money, like when you think of, oh, we both have jobs. And it budgeting kind of weirdly got a little fun. Where you're like, man, when we cut out this, we have all this room for that vacation. You start prepping your budget even from delight. I would say to do the same thing with Sabbath. Hey, what do we want to do? Get your kids in on it. Because one thing when you're prepping, you need this to be a day of delight. You know who are professional delight machines? Kids. It's like, ask them. If you need some help on what would be good for our family, just ask. They'll have a lot of good sugary ideas for you. It's like, I would say make it part of it. Make that part of it. Like, get that, a lot of prep just has to go into making this day a day that you're like, that was good for my soul and for my body. Maybe not all the sugar, but yeah, I got some rest. A lot of Sabbath activity for the Jewish culture would start at that meal on a Friday night. That's a good idea to possibly start your evening. If you want to take 24 hours and have a day of rest, is to think through maybe a meal is a good thing for your family to bring your whole family along. Jewish culture, they would light a candle and it'd be kind of symbolizing, this is not that God showed up through the candle, but this is a special time where we get to be with our God, where the demands of the world have faded for even our family, no chores. This is God's time with us. What are some things? Think through the prep that you could do. Preparation is just a big thing. Man, paper products are nice because you don't have to do dishes. Easy meals, kind of considered like, maybe you like hot dogs, and it's like, man, a grill and hot dogs and some chips or whatever. Or here's the veggies or whatever you have, pre-prep meals. You want to enter into the day, so it's preparation. Then I would say this is it. It's important to enter into this time with thanksgiving. This day is a lot different than the day of Pharaoh, I would say, or the day of doing. This is the day of being. This is the day that we remember, we give up our anxious toil and we receive from God sleep. This is something to be thankful for. And so we come into this day. It is an important act to thank God for what you're about to enter into. Consider what that would look like for you, how you could do that in your own life. Maybe it's that dinner. Maybe it's that celebration, that you do in a sort of family devotional or prayer. I don't know what it is, but it's very important to enter into this day with thanksgiving. The next is to try, just to try to rest. You're not good at it. I'll tell you, a lot of you people in this room, I know you. You're not good at this spiritual practice. You're not. Your phones are on too much. Your computer's on too much. And you know why I know this? Because I'm like this. I'm talking to me, not just you. It's very important to see what works in rest with your family and see what doesn't. Try the rhythm of stopping and resting and delighting. This can be a day that is just experimental for you right now, is what I would say. I would like to give you freedom to, for the next few months, think through every weekend, I want to try something. I'm going to try the spiritual practice of Sabbath. There's no real plan for it. Scripture doesn't say, here's exactly what you have to do. Here's what a few things that I think are very important for you to think through as you're experimenting. It's a day of rest. It's a day of delight. It's a day of community. And it's a day with God. So particularly some of you are thinking like, man, Tanner, I'm single. Is this day of rest because I don't have like family and stuff? Like I got to go walk through the woods by myself and that sounds like a nightmare. I hate the woods. No, this is a communal thing. So what you want to do is, man, how about we experiment with this practice that God's people have done for a long time and see what works. See what works for your season of life. It's going to change. You're going to need to do this again. Finally, I do think this is a really great practice is to try it in community. To try to invite others around you, a lot of our folks in this room, you're in community groups, is to really invite people into this. To bring people alongside them, ask them, hey, are you stopping once a week? Are you really trying to really make time to rest in your life? Once you start practicing the rhythm of a weekly Sabbath, man, every day you're going to find you should have some Sabbath rest in it where you just be with God. And you'll find that, man, that will influence now the rest of your life. It's like this practice starts informing how you do everything. It is a day that truly, I want you to hear it not from my mouth, but from the Lord's. This is verse 14 of 58. If we start thinking about the Sabbath differently, then you shall delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Would you join me in this? Let's become the place that delights in the Lord and we ride on the heights of the earth. You know how? By stopping and being with God. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. I come and thank you that you're so unlike myself. You are so unlike Pharaoh, that demanded and needed. But God, you are the God who created and rested. God, I pray that you would help us as we practice this rhythm of our life, that we would not only experience a vibrancy in our own lives, but you'd help us see this day as a day to love others. God, this is not a day that's designed uniquely just for self. It is designed to change the world. So God, I ask that you would do this in our people, that you would do this in our church. God, would you help us be a church that rests in you? It's in Jesus' name we make this prayer. Amen.